This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2022, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders Educational Programs on March 24 and 25, 2022, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Secretaries.
First voice.
Last face.
Details.
Unseen.
Responsible.
Background.
Underappreciated.
Warmth.
Presence.
Efficiency.
Supporters.
Backbone.
Vital.
Capable. You know, so it is just really good to be here with you today. And I thought before we'd start, just to get a little bit of a feel here, how many of you are actively working as a secretary? Good percentage of you. So how many are in nonprofits? Okay, so it looks like we can speak the same language here. So in my years as being a secretary, you know, I've experienced a lot of different emotions. And you believe a lot of lies. But the truth is that our role as a secretary in a nonprofit is just a really vital role. You know, and it's not only the work that we do that matters. Mm-hmm. It's how we do it. It's the way we bring our presence. And that really is what our talk is about today, is how can we bring our presence and our attitudes to the office in ways that bless? So if I enter the office saying, okay, this is my job, you know, may or may not get a paycheck for it, but it is my job, and I'm going to live today, I'm going to do this week, you know, the whole ministry suffers from that kind of attitude. But if we enter the office with delight, ready for the task before us, not just blindly, but determining between what is good and what is best, and if we move into it to discover God's grace and to give that grace to others, from that posture, we are freed to say yes. And not only to say yes, but we can flourish in our responsibilities. And with that, just bring a sense of calmness and peace to our offices. So, Julene, that's why I think it's important to say yes. Mm-hmm. So why do you think it's important to say yes?
Yeah, so I think that my posture of yes or no affects the whole atmosphere of the office, as you already mentioned. But if I'm consumed with my agenda and not wanting any interruptions and just living for the weekend, the office will be cold and uninviting. But if I see my job as a role that empowers and assists and serves others, the office is warm and inviting.
Yeah, and I think that's what we all want. We want our offices to be warm and inviting. And one of the ways we can do that is by practicing the posture of delighting in the daily processes.
So, Vivian, what makes it possible for you to enter the office with delight in the daily processes?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's two things that really come to my mind. And the first one is to see the big picture. You know, we need to know the mission, the vision, the values of the ministry we're working for. If we don't, in the midst of those daily processes, I bog down. You know, it's boring. It's overwhelming. I don't want to do it. But when I can look at it and say that, you know, what I am doing here is helping to minister to, or it's helping to bring hope to, or to produce literature for. And for me, I fill that in with, it's helping schools across our country because of the work that I'm doing. It's helping build schools and churches. And when I can remember that and see that big picture, I can delight in those little mundane things that are part of my job. But also closely related to that is realizing that I am not working alone. When I feel like this is just me and my little four walls, it's hard to find delight. At least it is for me. I'm not a solo person. But when I realize that I am working with real people with real faces, even if I'm working on the phone, to realize that, you know, there's a real face and a real person behind this, I find delight in serving people and find delight in making it possible for the instructors, the administrators, the teachers to do their work and to do it well and to know that I am lifting up their hands by taking care of these mundane details.
Mm-hmm. Vivian, I like that big picture and I think it's so important, but can we break it down a bit and make it practical? So for me, delighting in the daily processes includes one thing I think of is organization. And just a very practical thing for me is a paper planner and a pencil and an eraser. My tasks are erasable and movable. By writing things down, my brain space is freed to think about all the other things that I need to think about. And I just don't have to hold all those pieces together in my head. It also provides a visual picture of my schedule so that I can see, oh, today's to-dos are not that urgent. I can say yes to this thing. Or maybe, actually, the things on today's to-do list, I must get done today. And so I can't really say yes today. It gives me that visual picture.
And what another way to think about that organization is to own our office space. Now, I know that's a little bit of a dangerous term there, because there is places where we can't own our space, or our space gets pretty small that we can actually own. But I think it's easy to make excuses when there's one piece that's not mine to own, that I don't own any of it. But to actually come in and to own my space and to say, how can I make this space warm and inviting? And a couple of the things I think about is, one is keeping the paper tray full in the copier. It's probably the thing that my staff never even realizes. But to have that copier always stocked, when they come in for those last minute urgent, now, you know, they can just go there and print it. It's kind of a silent yes that I'm saying, that yes, the copier is ready to go. Another one I find with that is just keeping the supplies there. You know, making it a priority to check the supplies and order when needs to be done. For me, I just find great delight when someone walks in, especially if it's a little bit of an odd item. You know, do you have, you know, the sticky tack or do you have this? I can say, yes, you can find it right here. Yeah, that's the spot where I can own my office space. Another one is having a place for things. You know, sometimes people leave things in a mess because there is no place for things. And with that is, I don't want to be nosy, but yet, as secretaries, we have ears. We have a good idea what's happening. We know what's going on around us. And when there's papers left at the copier, left on the table, you know, pick them up. Glance at them enough to know, okay, this is so-and-so's, and make sure they get it. So I think there's just a lot of those little organization things that free us to be able to say yes when other things come up. And it frees us from a lot of those last minute things that rob me of my delight.
Another thing for me to delight in the daily process is to know and enjoy my coworkers. So when I think of things that nurture and grow relationships, there's one that comes to mind first, and that is common courtesies. Things like please and thank you might seem really small and insignificant, but they actually go a long way, and I think common courtesies can smooth a lot of wrinkles that come up in a day. Another one I think of, and this, again, might seem small, but ask before grabbing that pen and that piece of paper off someone else's space. I think it just shows that level of respect for that the other person and can smooth a lot of those wrinkles. Another one is valuing people and caring enough to really listen. When I truly value a person, I actually add value to that person. And then a couple hindrances that I think of. So fear and selfishness, I think, are two things that cause relationships to crumble and fall apart. Criticism is another one I think of. Another one that comes to mind personally for me is comparison and feeling less than. Seeing that other person and the gifts that they have to bring and thinking, I don't have that to bring, but what if I can lay that aside, celebrate their gifts, and bring what I have, and just enjoy what we bring together? So fear and selfishness and criticism and comparison, these things just rob us of the delight in the daily processes and I think drain us of the energy that we need to say yes. So it's just to our benefit if we can learn to lay those things down and enjoy each other. I have these words written out and posted at my desk. And this is something that I am striving for. I'm not at perfection, but here's what it is. Love the people and the moment you have. Embrace the moment. Embrace the person. Embrace the experience.
I really like that, Julene. Love people and the moment you have. Embrace the moment. Embrace the person. Embrace the experience. But Julene, do you always find delight in the daily processes and a readiness to say yes?
Well, I will just have to be really honest and just say I'd have to be perfect to be able to answer yes. The reality is that I do make mistakes, which really is not delightful. But I'm just going to tell you about a couple of my mistakes. So a big one, I had made a purchase for the school in which the way I purchased it cost the school hundreds of dollars more than if I had purchased it as a large quantity. My mistake. Cost the school money. Yeah, the second one that I'm thinking of was not quite as big, but it still affected a lot of people. There was a gym reservation in which I failed to communicate, so there were two groups that wanted to use the gym, the same space, that night. So it all worked out, but not as smoothly as it could have if I had said, hey, there's another group that wants to use the gym tonight. So again, my mistake. I don't like to make mistakes, and I can't imagine that you do, but the reality is, we will. What if we could just learn to embrace them and instead of fearing them? I read this recently, and I'm just going to quote. I just want to read it to you. I thought it was said so well. The truth is that 100% of all people are guaranteed to fail regardless of how well they scheme, prepare, execute, or hustle. And here, I want to do a simple exercise with you. I wish you'd be sitting just a little bit closer, but that's okay. You can talk. So I want you to say, to look at the person sitting next to you or close to you and say these words. You are going to make a mistake. So go ahead and say that to each other.
You are going to make a mistake.
You're going to make a mistake. Okay. So now it's out there. We know we're going to make mistakes. It may sound depressing, but the good news is that they can actually become opportunities for us to become better. I'm just going to back up a little bit. So what actually is a mistake? There are three things that I'd like to propose. One is that they are explorers that can take us to places we've never been before. Another one, it's a test designed to make us mature. And the third one is they can be interruptions that should cause us to think and reflect. Now, a question for you. How many of you would like to go to where you've never been before? How many of you would like to become mature? And how many of you would like to reflect and think? Well, guess what? Mistakes provide those opportunities for us. I think that failures and shortcomings remind us that we're actually not saviors of our own lives. D.L. Moody says, and I quote, "Our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter."
That reminds me of a story. When I first started working as secretary at Faith Builders Christian School, it was one of my lives, and every week we put out a parent letter to the families. And grammar has never been my strong point. Give me math, I can handle that, but not grammar. And so I would spend all kinds of time trying to get this letter done, and done perfectly. I would try and try. I'd hand it to my principal. He'd look at it for 2 minutes and say, fix this, 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 and this. I couldn't get it. But what I found was how much less stressful it was when I started saying, you know what? He's going to catch the mistakes. Why do I have to stress out on trying to catch the mistakes that I can't even catch? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that brought me a lot of rest and a lot of time to say yes to other tasks that were definitely more important than trying to be perfect on the letter.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I was thinking about that takes away the delight of the daily process is perfectionism. We probably have varying levels of that in this group, but there's a certain degree, I think, in which secretaries appreciate having things organized and in place. I think that personal perfectionism can lead to frustration with others when they fall short of my level of perfection, or my fall short of my standard of perfectionism. So I'm just going to bring it home for me. So my space is an office, and right next to that is what we call the workroom, where there's all kinds of supplies, and teachers can come in there and do their projects and make their copies and pull the markers and get the art supplies. So that's right next to my office. Now, I know this in my head, that to have this space in perfect order at all times is not even a realistic expectation. But if perfect order is my standard, I will have all manner of opportunities to become frustrated with my coworkers. And I think it can lead to lack of mercy on them and probably even on myself. Perfectionism is just really draining. But if I can relax those expectations of perfectionism and can just see my office and that workroom as a space where others can come and do their job, where I can equip them to do their job, I can then delight in taking out the trash, picking up that pen that someone left lay there, stocking the supplies, and maybe even closing that cupboard door that someone left hanging open. You know, if I could be perfect and everyone around me could be perfect, we really wouldn't need each other. But what might it look like to lay down those expectations and just be grateful for and celebrate the beauty of a team? What I lack, you bring. We need each other.
Yeah, and I think another thing that robs us of our delight is when I try to impress people. You know, doing things to make me look good. And one that's a little more subtle is making things urgent so that I can show how quickly I can get a job done. You know, this not only robs me of my delight, but it also robs me of my ability to say yes, because I can't make wise decisions when I am striving to look good and not caring about my team.
But Vivian, I think you would agree with me that it's not about being noticed, mm-hmm. but it's about doing what we can to help those we're serving.
Absolutely.
And for me, last but not least, is the delight that I experience just as a result of being in the place where God's called me to be. There's just a certain level of delight in that. So to recap, our posture of delighting in the daily process includes being organized, enjoying our coworkers, embracing mistakes, and letting go of that perfectionism and making myself look good. But delighting in the daily process is not really the end. We also need the posture of discerning between what is good and what is best. As a secretary, it can be really easy to say yes to all the important things, but then at the end of the week, to feel frustrated or overwhelmed maybe because I failed to differentiate between what is good and what is best. So, Vivian, I've heard you reference this 80-20 rule that gives us a way to think about what's good and what's best. Could you talk to us about that?
Sure. So when I think about discerning between the good and the best, I think we need to ask ourselves, which projects come where? So the 80-20 rule is that we spend 80% of our time doing 20%, and we spend 20% of our time doing the 80%. And that 20% of our time doing the 80% is what really matters. We often spend so much time on that last 20% that we can't go any further. So go back to my story about doing the parent letter. That's exactly what I was doing. I was spending 80% of my time trying to get that letter to the extra 20% to perfection, when my principal could come in and in 2 to 5 minutes move that letter to almost perfection. So I was not making good use of my time in using that 80% to finish that last 20%. So if we really put this in perspective, and I'm not sure these numbers quite are what it was like with the letter, but it's probably close. So we'll say if it takes you 1 hour to do that project, or for me it was putting that letter together. If we look at the 80-20 rule, that means it takes me 12 minutes to move that project to 80%. It then takes me 48 minutes to move that project, that last 20%. So you see how that messes with our times? Now, we do need to be careful. We don't want to be sloppy secretaries that are just known as the 80% people. But I think it is a good thing to ask ourselves, where am I putting my time? And just a couple questions that I think are important is, what is important to your ministry as a whole? What matters to your coworkers? Where can I benefit from the strengths of others? Which is what I was doing with my principal there. And where is it just important to me to make me look good? And I can tend to fall off on that last one, because my expectation for myself is to do everything I do at 100% and do it perfectly. But that has really crippled me, because I'm limited on what I can say yes to if I'm constantly pushing for that 100%. I'm not discerning between what is good and what is the best use of my time.
That's good, and those are some good questions, Vivian. But I know there are days when you get stretched pretty thin, pulled in a lot of directions. Are there other ways that you think about discerning between what's good and what's best?
There definitely are. Sometimes even our 20% isn't quite enough to get us there. And I just think an important piece is to pause, take a deep breath, and make a list. I know some days it includes just spending an hour or two doing all those important things on my desk and making a list of the bigger projects. When I'm done with that, I then have a clean desk and a clean mind. Mm-hmm. And then I can think clearly about where to spend the rest of my time. And I think a few questions that even help me to say, okay, now I have my big list. Where do I go from here? Mm-hmm. I mean, the list still may be, this long. And I think one is just, what are the hard deadlines? I can easily get stressed out on what are Vivian's deadlines instead of what actually are the hard deadlines. Another question is, what do I need to do so that the next person can do their work? And It's also about what do I need to prioritize to make those I am serving feel cared for. So for me, what that means is, even though I have this email in my inbox that feels incredibly unimportant, you know, recently it's this thing of people are wondering when they can come for Teachers Week. Or I had one wondering when he can sign up to come as a student in 2023. You know, non-urgent, I want to say non-important. But those things do have to come to the top of my list, because that is what builds trust with the people I'm serving. So I will take that moment and do that because it is important because of that reason. So I think if we can take time to just discern between what is good and what is best, we actually can say yes to the various jobs that come across our desk. But sometimes that yes is, yes, I can do that right now. Sometimes it is, yes, I can do that by next week. And sometimes it is, yes, but I'm working on reach preparation. This is board preparation. Which do you think is most important?
Do you have any stories of when you discern between the good and the best?
That's a great question. And as I was thinking about that question, I just realized, you know, often even when I discern, do well at discerning between the good and best, I forget those things. But when I don't do well, those I remember. Yeah. And so the story that comes to mind is, it was my first year that I was supposed to be helping with our graduation. It was our administrator's first year to be helping with graduation. And this particular administrator, he kind of flew by the seat of his pants. I thought I knew that he needed me to look good. So we come to the day of graduation. The diplomas are sitting there. They've been printed, but they're just sitting there. So I'm like, well, good secretary that I am, I should be getting these diplomas into their folders and getting everything right. I had no instructions. I kept doing things wrong. I think I put them in their holders two or three times that day. We'll just say it wasn't very pretty. I was not a happy camper. I was actually quite angry at my administrator. You know, we pulled graduation off. But here's the piece that really caught me. Later on, we were discussing it, and I said something about the lack of communication or something. I don't even remember what I said, but I know what he said. He just looked at me and said, "Vivian, I never asked you to do that." Yeah. And so that was just a really good reminder for me that sometimes I need to pause and think, what is actually good or best? And is it always best for me to rescue someone?
I think your story illustrates something there, and that is that discerning between the good and the best includes realizing what is my responsibility and what is not. And it's not always our job to rescue others. Now, we've talked about the postures of delighting the daily processes and discerning between the good and the best. But what about the stressful seasons in the office? What posture do we need to say yes in those seasons?
These are the times when we come face to face with our limitations. We can't do it alone. In seasons of stress, we need to discover grace from God, grace from others, and we need to give grace to others.
Grace, I have a story I need to say here, and I'm going to call it the In What Universe story. So it had been one of those rough mornings in the office. I made this startling discovery that we were almost out of checks. It was a checkbook that we rarely use, but we needed checks to pay multiple people that day, and we were almost out of checks. We didn't have enough. So I was bearing this responsibility, this guilt, this blame for what had happened. And we were sitting at the lunch table that day, and I was recounting this tale to some of my coworkers sitting there. And one of my coworkers turned to me and he said, "In what universe should you just know that we're running out of checks?" This was Grace from my coworker.
So I love that picture of Grace. Can you tell us a little bit more what Grace is?
Yeah, so I think that grace is not only about receiving, but it's a call to action. It's receiving grace from God. It's blessings I don't deserve. It's accepting grace from others. That's what my coworker did for me. He wasn't hard on me because I failed, but he pointed me to that reality, this grace. And it's actually giving grace to others. Grace is not meant to be hoarded all for me. So in those moments of stress, when the workload looks way too big, maybe impossible, grace is knowing God's presence, accepting grace for where I don't have it all together, and extending grace to others even when it feels like they're adding stress to my schedule.
So, Jolene, I know you have a really busy season coming up here with the end of school. Mm-hmm. How are you preparing for that busy season?
Yeah, well, I need to back up a bit here. Last year, I don't feel like it went so well in this busy season. It seemed that I was living on the cutting edge, and I just wasn't really very well prepared for that relentless hustle of spring.
But, Jolene, we need to back up. And I think you need some grace for yourself. Okay. Because last year was the first normal year for you as secretary. But I hear you learned some things. What are you going to do differently this year?
A few things that I'm thinking about these days. How can I stay on track with to-dos? I just want to enjoy the craziness of May. It's going to be crazy, but I want to enjoy it. Just simply plan for overtime hours. It won't stop at 40 hours. Allow for those spaces of margin. For that, for me, that can look like taking a walk, going out to eat with my co-teachers who'd say, "Hey, let's go out somewhere on Friday night." It takes time, but it can be so rejuvenating for me. It can also be just reading a book. I think that having margin will allow me to say yes. If I'm consistently living in crisis mode, it really affects how I relate to people, and saying yes becomes a lot more difficult. But back to you, Vivian. You've just been through a really busy time. What was it like for you to prepare for REACH?
Well, what I want to say is that it went well. I handled everything with a lot of grace. I made wise choices.
But wait, is that true?
Do you have to ask?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it was true some days. But probably the crisis moment for me was about a month ago. Things were just cranking up for REACH. People were needing details from me so they could get started on their stuff they were doing. It was the beginning of spring semester. Students were coming in and changing their classes. I had winter term report cards that I needed to get done. We had board meeting coming up in a week. And I just found a job that needed to be done before board meeting, and I had forgotten to do it last year. So I had a double job to do. And it didn't matter how hard I worked. I could not get ahead, and the interruptions just kept coming. And I didn't do wisely. I shifted into 150% mode. I was stressed and focused. I think everyone around me knew it. And I was focused to the point that I had my body worked up. And it took me about a week to come back off of that.
Can you tell us how you returned to inner calmness?
Yeah, there are several pieces involved for me. And I just remember one morning particularly, I'd had a long weekend. I should have been rested, but I was not. And I just cried out to God and said, "God, I need calmness." and just realizing the spiritual warfare that was going on. That I'm coming here today to talk about saying yes with joy. You know, and I just felt that warfare going on. And just my prayer was, God, don't let anything cross my desk today that has not first crossed your desk. And then it was going and talking to my supervisor. And if any of you know my supervisor, he is an eternal optimist. And he has this way of speaking reality and bringing you back down to being able to take a deep breath. And then it was asking for help. Delegating jobs that I could delegate. It was saying no to weekend plans that I knew would not help. It was giving space for personal rejuvenation.
So I have another question. I know you've had a lot of responsibility, and I'm not diminishing that in any way. But was it the responsibility that actually put you over the edge?
You know, I don't think it was. As I think in reflection, I think a lot of it was fear and uncertainty that put me over the edge. I was really not expecting that moment. I thought I had things kind of going. But when I felt that complete overwhelmness, I went into fear. Saying, you know what, this is what my life is going to be like for the next month, and I can't survive. And the unknown won over my common sense.
That's good. So how can we practice this posture of discovering grace in these seasons of stress?
Yeah, I think there's three things that come to my mind that help me to discover grace in those seasons of stress. One is resting. Another is taking care of myself. And a third is seeing the end in sight. And I come to the resting. Yeah, it is taking time for sleep. That is important. But I think it's also resting at the feet of Jesus, bringing myself to him. Maybe it's only 5 or 10 minutes that I have that morning, but just sitting quietly and saying, God, I need you. It's also intentionally placing myself. Okay, I just lost my spot. It's also intentionally asking God to protect my time, to believe that he knows which interruptions need to cross my desk and which ones do not. It's also communing with God throughout the day and saying, God, I need you. God, thank you.
Taking care of myself is an important piece of being able to flourish in a busy season. I mentioned earlier, but I think it's taking time to do the things that actually rejuvenate me. And yes, taking a walk is not a waste of time. Another thing I think of is taking time to think and process in the midst of the busyness. Not thinking, oh, I'll deal with all that later. Take time in the midst of the busyness to think and to process. This might look like taking a few minutes to journal a few lines before even attempting to sleep. It can be saying no to good things because they're not the best things. That leisure shopping trip that I'd really like to do, maybe it should wait for a couple weeks. It's allowing myself to rest for a few minutes without guilt, because the reality is, instead of trying to push through, I may actually be more productive and effective after I rest a bit.
And the third is seeing the end in sight. I just think it's much easier to remain calm when I see the end. You know, during seasons of stress, I think we need to ask ourselves, is this a season or a pattern? If this is a season, we lean into grace and we keep going. If this is a pattern, we need to ask ourselves the hard questions. Because a state of constant stress is not sustainable. Mm-hmm.
There are a few questions that I think can help to guide us through this. And the first one I'll just mention here is, what needs to continue? What must be done, and what must be done by me? The second question is, what can I pause? So it's not that I'm saying no, it's what can I pause? What can I just punt until later? And the third one is, where can I ask for help? So who are the people around me that could help me with this, who are good at doing what I don't have time for? Where can I ask for help?
So to recap, grace is action. It's intentionally placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus to receive his grace. It is opening ourselves to accept grace from others. And it is allowing that grace to flow through me to others. Now, we were hoping for some interactions on how you find the ability to say joy, to find joy and to say yes. But I think we probably better just move on into the conclusion here. And yeah, love to talk to you and hear your ideas later.
Yes, absolutely. So as secretaries, we do impact the atmosphere of the office and the health of an organization. Our posture is important. The posture of delighting in the daily processes, the posture of discerning between the good and the best, and discovering grace in seasons of stress. It's these postures that can help us, that can make it possible for us to be secretaries who say yes.
And I'd just like to leave you with a few verses that have been my lifeline these last weeks, and just a real gift from God for me. And they're Habakkuk 3:17-19. And these are in Vivian's version. You will not find these in any translation. Though the work piles up and interruptions are unceasing, though I am tempted to feel used and alone, though I wonder if there is any way possible to do what is being asked of me, yet I will trust in the Lord. I will rejoice in God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. He will give me everything I need, not only to survive, but to walk with him on the high places. And God bless you as you serve in your hidden but important roles.
Thank you for listening. All recordings from Reach 2022 are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. To purchase additional recordings from Reach or other Faith Builders events, visit us online at www.christianlearning.org or call us at 814-789-4769.